put a snake on my back. I keep a red bone on my side.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Tuesday, May 1st, May Day, 2018, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. Wild ride it is, to be sure. And I'm your host, Chris Hinckley. We are all Road Warriors, those who would esteem ourselves to be. And as always, feel free to dive into the chat area at roadwarriorradio.chattango.com for interesting and lively discussion. And it always interesting, always lively. Where to begin today? You think about it. You know, the stuff that we grew up. I read James Perloff's article yesterday, or should I say Henry Makow's abridgment of James Perloff's article. And, you know, I agree, but I think it was happening before the 60s, certainly before 63, as James Perloff points out. And I think these devices have always, I was asked yesterday, actually, what do you think? And, I think these devices have been intended for nefarious purposes for a long time. You know, we played the George Friedman clip at Brain Bar Budapest, and George Friedman in the first 10 minutes of that talk basically saying, yeah, all of that technology around you, this modern technology, all of this digital stuff, it was all created, by the War Department, basically for the purpose of war. And it's kind of like all of that technology that DARPA creates, tests on the battlefield and brings back here. One of the most nefarious examples I remember from about 10 years ago is Spikey the Spy Robot. Remember Spikey the Spy Robot? Talk about that every once in a while. And that's just one example, you know, and all of these big toy manufacturers like Hasbro make a practice of working with the Department of Defense and DARPA in particular. They're always consulting on movies with DARPA and Joint Chiefs and fun stuff like that. And why not? You know, and then of course there's DARPA and video gaming and all of that stuff. It's just, it's ridiculous. So you look around and you wonder, you know, you see Leave It to Beaver and Father Knows Best and just the simple life there. And you know, in America today, I just wonder. I suppose in America today, I'm considered a counterculture revolutionary or something, since I love the Lord, believe the Bible is the what I call the error correcting, self replicating code. You know, in a sort of modern vernacular, I don't think that Marx had a single great idea or good idea. Even I believe Darwin's book title alone proves him to be, you know, the most ardent racist around. You know, the struggle by natural selection or preservation of favored races. Favored races, who decides? You know, so these kinds of things, obviously, I don't know, seem to indicate that someone like me is a counterculture revolutionary, but maybe not, because as you look around, there are more people that I think question what's going on and know that something is terribly wrong, but it's difficult to voice that concern because of herdthink and the overwhelming propaganda. And, you know, I think evidence of the fact that the mainstream media is almost entirely in the bag is that they're not talking about anything. You know, the White House Correspondents' Dinner? Are you kidding me? How many days are they going to talk about that nonsense? You know, and Kathy Griffin? You're talking about Kathy Griffin? And by the way, to me, someone like Kathy Griffin, and, you know, it might be offensive, but when you're a person that does what she does, it's like the person, you know, she reminds me of the person that I once saw walk into Walmart with a t-shirt on with a middle finger on the front of it, and it said something like, "What are you looking at?" Or, you know, I think we've all seen, not to pick on certain people, but, you know, there are certain people sometimes who dress scantily and that they look at you and like, "What are you looking at?" Well, apparently nothing. I'm not supposed to. I'm shocked. So Kathy Griffin is a, you know, a provocateur, basically. And it's very sad and unfortunate to see what has become of her. She was kind of funny somewhere along the way, maybe, and now she's entirely not funny. She's just offensive. Every time she opens her mouth, she offends, and I think it's like an addiction for her. But, you know, that's sort of the end result of being a product of this junky society and this junky culture that has been created, literally. You know, it manifests itself through drug abuse sometimes and in varieties of other ways, but it's a junky society. This whole rampant prosumerism that we've seen in the Bernaysian propaganda era, you know, the Tofflerite prosumer concept, it's ridiculous, and it can't last forever. You know, it was a point that Peter Thiel made at one talk in particular, where he was, you know, and this is a guy who, I mean, he's no dummy, obviously, but he was remarking about markets and capital growth rates and things like that. And he says, you know, we labor under this misconception that 6 to 8% growth just is a natural thing in life, and it's not. It's like infinity. We talk about it, but is it something you can find in nature? No. So we are encouraged to behave that way, and it creates a sort of junky mindset, or it's a product of that larger system. And I think Kathy Griffin, you know, you can see people just unravel when they are given over to that sort of behavior. And it's very sad, you know, and this, she, to me, typifies the kind of end result of cultural Marxism. What happens when you say you're not a, I mean, is she a woman? No. Is she a man? No. Is she, what is she? I mean, she looks like a, honestly, she looks like she's fashioned after her father, the devil, to me. A pasty, androgynous, hermaphroditic sort of looking thing, very confused, very disturbed, very sad and unfortunate. And, you know, that's where, and that's all sort of part of that death cult ideology, you know, bringing people on board along the way. You know, like H.G. Wells wrote, many will die protesting it. Or, you know, it's a soft kill for a bunch. And then for those who actually make it into the club, then, you know, you're entirely conscripted to evil. Well, I am a conscientious objector. I don't want to participate. So, you know, I don't think science is something that should be worshipped as a religion. I think technocracy is a guise, a cover for bad guys to control things. I agree with people like Jimmy Dore. You know, Jimmy Dore in one of his latest YouTube videos, commenting about the Natalie Portman, you know, the Genesis Award nonsense, her refusing to accept it or to travel to Israel to accept the award. You know, Jimmy Dore talking about all of these sides and the Genesis Award people saying, well, it's not political. And he said, you know, everything is political. It's not possible to say, it's impossible to say it's not political. And he's absolutely right. And the point here, though, is that that's exactly what the early 20th century era progressives said about the administrative fourth branch. The administration of government is apolitical. It's agnostic. No, it's not. You have a view. And that was a thing that Thomas McNeice focused on in the Reese Committee hearings, in his in his congressional testimony, when he was asked that question specifically. Would you, I mean, if you were in a position of government, you'd want experts around you, wouldn't you, Mr. McNeice, Assistant Director of Research for the Reese Committee? And his answer was brilliant. Paraphrasing, he basically said, well, yes, I would, but I would first want to know what their particular leaning is, their particular view in life, obviously. And it's very interesting. Now we're encouraged not to believe that, but not all the time. It's not a hard, fast rule because, you know, I mean, it's a cultural, it's a moral relativist, situational ethics sort of society. So for most people, when you try to apply that litmus test and say, wait a second, I disagree with, oh, that's hate speech and you're discriminating. But when it's someone who is living by the courage of their convictions, so to speak, in a way that doesn't serve this sort of agenda that's grinding forward, like Rachel Dolezal, for example, well, then, you know, we can't have that. Now we have to apply that test. We think that, you know, you're crazy for living by the courage of your convictions. And years ago, when that story first came out, I said, because she grew up in, I was born in the town less than 20 miles from where she grew up. And I know people that, I mean, I talked about this. I'll just say my family went to school with her family. And this, the short version on that is, when you grow up in an environment where you see your parents go to another continent, not just another country, another continent, and adopt children that don't look like you. Their skin color's a little different, and they're treated, you know, you might say, in a certain context, more special than you. And then you, while you grow up seeing that, then, you know, hey, maybe you think, that's special. I want to be special too. I mean, that would be natural as a child to think that, I think, unfortunately, sadly. And so it's, as it turns out, you know, watching the special on her, that's pretty close to what happened. There was a little bit of a nuance, I would say, in it, and I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth, but it seems like the whole maternal aspect of her role in those children's lives also played a part. And so as she was, you know, growing into a maternal role in those children's lives, she also became a sort of crusader. And so now, you know, that's, she kind of gradually grew into that role where she, that genuinely is what speaks to her. And it's ironic, I think, that, you know, Bruce Jenner can live as life as a woman and he is celebrated. That's a man. That's not a woman. He was born a man, and it's unfortunate what's happened there. But, you know, and just how embarrassing, you know, celebrated athlete and everything. What does that do to reality? And I mean, just again, Romans chapter 1. But he can do that, and other people can do that. And, you know, it's hate speech and discrimination, and we should be ashamed of ourselves if we say anything other than support, which just galls me. I can't stand it. But when Rachel Dolezal does the same thing, oh, well, how dare she? Who does she think she is? And it was interesting. You know, Louis Farrakhan, of all people, I'm not a fan, but, you know, Louis Farrakhan had a good point when he said, you guys are mad at her because she's picking up what you're trying to throw off, what you're trying to throw away. So that's interesting. But, you know, so anyway, I guess in today's America, by some standard, some measure, I might be considered a counterculture revolutionary, because I think all of this stuff is nonsense. I don't think that social media is a good thing. I don't think that where we're headed in terms of technology is good. I don't think that, the whole concept of technocracy, Jeremy Rifkin's zero marginal cost society being weaponized against the common man in a way that people don't even see. People don't even see it coming. And as Patrick Wood has pointed out, for decades, they've been plotting this for decades. You know, the reinvigoration of technocracy at Columbia University back in the 70s by Z Biggie and pals, it's the ultimate weapon. People don't see it coming. This new international economic order, resource-based international economic order, where you're going to get your credits. You know, you get your credits on your little chip. It's not even money. Like Aaron Russo was saying back in 2006, it's credits. Because they're going to try to do away with money. All of this should stop. I think that's all a bad idea. You know, the Constitution tells us Congress has the power and authority to coin money and to regulate the value thereof. Not a bunch of people who have secret meetings and things. And speaking of secret meetings, I don't want to get off too much on a rant. You know, Senator Mike Lee wrote an article published about a week ago. What was it? Last Wednesday over at the Daily Signal. Everyone needs a close community, but those are fewer and fewer, which kind of dovetails with this subject matter. But then, you know, you get the Social Capital Project found stronger levels of what? Social scientists refer to these connections as social capital to illustrate that they are a resource every bit as precious as money. I mean, you know, it's too much. Again, this is science going too far. This is technocrats and scientism going too far. This week, the Social Capital Project released the Social Capital Index, the clearest picture ever taken of the health of American communities. This is some kind of a metric for the health of American communities. It's ridiculous. And, you know, like just about everything else of this nature, there's a thin thread, I would say, of, you know, validity and legitimacy. But, you know, most of it is just what's the word? I can't even think of it. It's basically hogwash or nonsense. I can't think of it. But it's, you know, it's a pseudo something or other, if you know what I mean. Anyway, we'll get back on track when we come back. Stick around. More right after this break.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back. Oh, my goodness. James Perloff, "The Truth is a Lonely Warrior, The Shadows of Power." It's not just the Council on Foreign Relations, but he wrote pretty extensively about it. You know, you put together what James Perloff wrote about the CFR with, and Edward Mandel House, by the way. You know, we should talk more about that. Maybe we will in a minute, but you know, you put that together with the Trilateral Commission. I was actually looking yesterday, and I don't want to get too far off track. Maybe this isn't, but when you look at the list of national security advisors, it's unbelievable. You know, Tom Donilon, right on. I mean, just go to Wikipedia. It's just insane. So, you know, Edward Mandel House is the archetypal national security advisor, obviously. Philip Drew, administrator. And, you know, I was reading last week, I think, Walter Lippmann's New York Times book review back in 1912 of House's book, Philip Drew, administrator. And it's interesting. And even Walter Lippmann says it's terrible writing. I should just read that. I thought about reading from that, you know, but Walter Lippmann, who obviously was the same kind of insider, establishment insider that House was, and, you know, especially the progressive era, especially the FDR era administration, these guys don't know what they're doing. The presidents, I mean, look at Carter, for example, and what he said about how he basically was illuminized by Brzezinski. And then you look, it's my understanding that Kissinger served longer than any other national security advisor, which is obviously a post Second World War position as an outgrowth of the National Security Act and the rise of the Cold War. Well, how did we know? Kind of weird, you know? It's just another one of those specious sort of creations. It's, again, Richard Sakwa's words. All of this apparatus exists to manage the threats created by its existence. You know, Richard Sakwa, Frontline Ukraine, NATO exists to manage the threats created by its existence, that kind of thing. So, anyway, you look at these guys, the list, Kissinger, the hardcore guys right there in the middle, Kissinger, Brent Scowcroft, Zbigniew Brzezinski in particular, those are some of the worst. But, Kissinger and Brzezinski were not born in America. And it reminds me of, guys like Sebastian Gorka, talking down to Americans. I find it very offensive. Am I wrong? Am I crazy? I mean, I think it's very offensive. I don't want to hear anything Henry Kissinger has to say. And not only was he the longest serving national security advisor, to my understanding, a single term, but he's still obviously somehow influential today, this war criminal, Christopher Hitchens' book, I think, right? Trial of Henry Kissinger, I think, is the title. Anyway, it's insane. Kissinger and Brzezinski, the guy who single-handedly created Al-Qaeda, basically. I mean, and so what? You know, what's more important, the liberation of Europe or a few stirred-up Muslims? Tell me he didn't know what was happening. And then, you get into the Immigration Act of 1965. Again, this is kind of what I was thinking about. Speaking of the 60s, I mean, look at the civil unrest. You look at people who remember 1968 and say, the country was coming apart at the seams in ways, many of which kind of echo, obviously, coming forward, what's been happening year after year, decade after decade. I was asked the other day, what do you think? Is it the same or is it different? Because you watched like the Bobby Kennedy special, for example, the 4-part series on Netflix. And was it different? They sound like they're talking about the same issues. Well, first of all, how many of those incidents were staged? Because, again, as Bernays put it, the hidden persuaders. Bernays is quoted, newsworthy events involving people usually do not happen by accident. They are planned deliberately to accomplish a purpose, to influence ideas and actions. So many of those incidents were staged. You look at the incredible television footage of riots and things. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, "I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it." I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Welcome back. I think bottom of the first hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this May Day, Tuesday, May 1st, 2018, I think we're going to have to play Jaron Lanier's TED Talk, How We Need to Remake the Internet And it's interesting, his latest TED Talk, I should say, because he's done several, but it's interesting how, you know, his other stuff just gets memory hold. Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny how that happens? Anyway, yeah. So, Jaron Lanier. And he has that book out. You can go to his website. 10 arguments for deleting your social media accounts right now. that's pretty straight to the point. And it's interesting. What's the title of that book? You know, Nothing, Reason to Vote Democrat, I think is, wasn't that it? Anyway, you know, you could just settle for the front and back cover of his book, really. Jaron Lanier, 10 arguments for deleting your social media accounts right now. We'll go through the 10 arguments, I think. But this TED Talk is 15 minutes long, so we'll probably have to just get to that. But, you know, it's May Day. And so a bit of housekeeping quickly. I was asked, apparently the question was asked yesterday, where is the question about the quote, Edward Mandel House quote concerning making the American people into chattel, and then the Tontine stuff that I mentioned, the book on the Tontine system, you know, insurance, the insurance system industry and system, the way that we know it today, used to be illegal. it's a giant Ponzi scheme, for Pete's sake. And that was, you know, and this is a scam that kind of is perpetrated every once in a while. It comes back, and it's obviously like the Federal Reserve now. It's been legitimized, and nobody knows any different. But as far as I know, one of the most intriguing, if not the most intriguing, recounts of this, what I would call colorful tale of the illegal insurance scheme, which has since, you know, been legalized, is Thomas B. Costain's The Tontine. That was the book I was referring to, published back in 1955. And it's kind of an interesting and colorful read, like I said. But so that's that. As far as the colonel, not a colonel, you know, the dubious Colonel Edward Mandel House. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff you can read. What's the book by what's his name in the 20s? His papers. And what's his name was part of the Council of Ten or whatever. I forget. Gosh, what's his name? Anyway. And you know what else is interesting? Speaking of House, you go to the Wikipedia entry for Edward Mandel House. This cracks me up. Stuff like this. Obviously, Wikipedia, sanitized, whitewashed, but it's just interesting. Edward M. House. Wikipedia. Scroll down to the bottom. See also Federal Reserve. Huh. I wonder why. And there's no mention of why in the Edward Mandel House Wikipedia entry. So you click on Federal Reserve. You know, where is the mention of Edward Mandel House? I see Edward Flaherty, but I don't see Edward Mandel House. That's interesting. Isn't that curious? Then you start to read, you know, some of his exploits and pursuits and things, and okay, then you start to understand. But, you know, Charles Seymour was the guy. The Intimate Papers of Colonel House, published in 1928, apparently, Houghton Mifflin. 27, I thought, but and Edward Mandel House and Charles Seymour, what really happened at Paris, the story of the peace conference, that's an interesting story. So Charles Seymour was one of the intriguers, and so, you know, he's organizing House's papers, so no wonder certain things allegedly never happened or were said, like that infamous quote that I mentioned. This one, I'll repeat it. this is the quote in question, very soon every American will be required to register their biological property. That's, you know, us people, we and our children, our posterity, in a national system designed to keep track of the people, and that will operate under the ancient system of pledging. What is a birth certificate? What's the difference between, oh gosh, can't think of the word. No, that'll come to me in a minute. Anyway, so the ancient system of pledging, by such methodology, we can compel people to submit to our agenda, which will affect our security as a chargeback for our fiat paper currency. Every American will be forced to register or suffer being able to work and earn a living. And now, come forward to today, look at an I-9. What choice does a person have? You know, it wasn't that long ago, and people, you know, are still born not in the hospital. What happens if you decide not to register their birth certificate? And what happens if you don't choose to enter them into this social insurance program or enroll them, register them? So I think registration versus recording is what I'm thinking of. You know, the difference in terms. And, you know, then we get into all of this sophism, 5 USC 551 definitions, what is a person, and, you know, what is a citizen, what does it mean to reside, blah, 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 blah. Down the rabbit hole, you know, through the looking glass and down the rabbit hole where everything is upside down and backwards. And people start asking questions like, why, you know, why is everything in all capitals? When did that start happening? Is it because we can't afford a shift key or a caps lock key? Or, I mean, what happened? But I digress. So continuing. Every American will be forced to register or suffer being able to work and earn a living. They will be our chattels, property, and we will hold the security interest over them forever by operation of the law merchant under the scheme of secured transactions. Americans, by unknowingly or unwittingly delivering the bills of lading, birth certificate, to us, will be rendered bankrupt and insolvent, secured by their pledges. They will be stripped of their rights and given a commercial value, UCC, designed to make us a profit, and they will be none the wiser. For not one man in a million could ever figure our plans, and if by accident one or two should figure it out, we have in our arsenal plausible deniability. Exactly, it's always plausible deniability. You know, John in Tennessee called in the other day, I think, what did he say? Jason Aldean's new tour, the new tour is called They Don't Know. Plausible deniability. After all, continuing, this is the only logical way to fund government, by floating liens and debts to the registrants in the form of benefits and privileges. Oh no, they're called rights now. Anyway, this will inevitably reap us huge profits. Again, defining terms is important, right? What is a right exactly? And who decides? From whence does it derive? This will inevitably reap us huge profits beyond our wildest expectations and leave every American a contributor to this fraud. Exactly. Back to Genesis 6. Every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. This will inevitably reap us huge profits beyond our wildest expectations and leave every American a contributor to this fraud, which we will call social insurance. Without realizing it, every American will unknowingly be our servant. However begrudgingly, the people will become helpless and without any hope for their redemption, and we will employ the high office presidency of our dummy corporation, you know, US of A versus USA, Inc., to foment this plot against America. So House allegedly said that, or did he? And you have guys like, you know, like I said, Charles Seymour in particular, who was one of the intriguers who organized, you know, literally published the intimate papers of Colonel House in four volumes back in 1928. I think it was 27 originally, I want to say. Anyway, so, you know, House allegedly didn't. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. Who knows? Did he really say that? And, you know, by the same token, the protocols probably aren't real, and Pike probably didn't write that letter to Mazzini. You know, all of these documents that are the most prophetic, fraudulent documents that have ever been produced in the history of the world. And then, of course, it's May Day, so we go back to 1776 and Robeson exposing the plot, and the intriguers allegedly being shut down, except they weren't. And, you know, so there we go from there. And again, you know, oh yeah, no, it's not real. It's, that's not a real thing anymore. Those guys, they got caught. From Ralph Epperson's The Unseen Hand, Chapter 8, The Secret Societies. Where do we want to start? Well, we'll just skip to the, cut to the chase, you know. A Frenchman named Danton, and, you know, Nessa Webster wrote quite a bit and some great stuff on this too, but I won't do that right now. We'll just stick with this real quick. A Frenchman named Danton said this in French, and loosely translated, what he said means audacity, audacity, always audacity. One of the countries to which the Illuminati fled was America, and they formed their first chapter in Virginia in 1786, followed by 14 others in different cities. They organized the Callao Italian Society, and with the onset of the American Revolution, disciples in America began to call themselves the Jacobins. Are those folks still? Anyway, maybe we'll come back to that. Much of what is known about the Illuminati today comes from a book written in 1798 by Professor John Robeson, a professor of natural philosophy at Edinburgh University in Scotland. He entitled his book Proofs of a Conspiracy Against All the Religions and Governments of Europe Carried on in the Secret Meetings of the Freemasons, Illuminati, and reading societies. Professor Robeson, himself a Mason, had been asked to join the Illuminati but felt he should investigate the order before he joined. Robeson concluded that the association had been formed, quote, for the express purpose of rooting out all the religions, establishments, and overturning all the existing governments of Europe, end quote. And so we fast forward today. What's been happening, especially through the course of the 20th century? You know, you had this expansion of religions in the 19th century, and like I said, paring down now, as folks like Gary Kaa have pointed out, to the counterfeit, paring down eventually to the counterfeit, which is really just a return to the old ancient Babylonian mystery religion nonsense. And in the same fashion, that's what Richard N. Gardner wrote in The Hard Road to World Order. Quoting William James, he said, it will look like a great booming, buzzing confusion. We're going to create a lot of dust. We're going to create a lot of agencies and all kinds of stuff. And then we're going to pare down to the counterfeit. Go from the authentic, expand, create a great booming, buzzing confusion, and then pare down to the counterfeit. That's the plan. In a nutshell. So continuing... These charges, even today, have fallen on deaf ears among many of Robeson's fellow Masons. One of the more scholarly works supporting Freemasons is a book entitled An Encyclopedia of Freemasonry by Albert Mackey, M.D., himself a 33rd degree Mason, the highest level attainable in the Masonic order. Dr. Mackey makes these statements about Professor Robeson's book. Many of his statements are untrue, and his arguments illogical, exaggerated, and some of them altogether false. his theory is based on false premises, and his reasonings are fallacious and illogical. He wrote that the founder of the Illuminati, Professor Weishaupt, was, quote, a Masonic reformer. Weishaupt could not have been the monster that he has been painted by his adversaries, end quote. Anyway, we'll continue that because it's May Day after all. We gotta do this on May Day, don't we? Stick around. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
It's the good life. Full of fun seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you, and in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye. by.
Welcome back. Oh, man. So, you know, obviously, you know, and for those that may have not have realized it, obviously the reason that I kind of circled back around to Walpurgisnacht yesterday was because, you know, yesterday was that and today is May Day. Again, these things are not coincidence. And, you know, just like these things get buried, you know, Cardinal Rodriguez, I think back in the 20s, was the guy who said that Pike wrote a letter to Mazzini, and somehow, you know, it was supposed to be on display in the British Museum, and somehow that just magically disappears from history, gets memory hold, and now, you know, who knows? Cardinal Rodriguez was crazy, I guess. But, and on from there, I think it was it Admiral William Guy Carr who wrote about it, referring to Cardinal Rodriguez back in the 40s, him sort of tracing out the record of this letter that has later proven to be unconfirmed, or at least that's what the British Museum says. Of course, why would you want that information out in public in the internet age? You wouldn't, obviously. But, you know, you start looking at all these coincidences and it's hard to dismiss them. So backing up just a little bit and then we'll go forward and finish. But so did Edward Mandelhaus really say something this specific very soon, you know, the people would become helpless and without any hope for their redemption, et cetera, et cetera? Well, we don't know, but he did say some other things that were pretty, I would say, just about as shocking. So, you know, we'll talk about that. We'll continue. It's May Day. We got to talk about, you know, that plot and what always seems to happen around May Day. When we come back, stick around. Second hour coming up. We'll be right back.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. May 5th is the last day you will hear this offer on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.